Good evening.
Good evening.
Always appreciate the opportunity to teach. And again, I'm standing in for Brother Andre and will not be following on with his lesson plan, but we'll be doing a standalone lesson. And I thought that now that football season is here, once again, it would be a good idea for us to discuss a topic that is closely related to football, and that is gambling. Legalized sports gambling is a huge business in those states where it's legal and also in those states where it's not legal. And in fact, under the table football wagers are close to $100 billion a year. And of course, that's just one small part of the gambling industry. And the lottery? Well, here's how the Texas State Lottery describes its mission on its own webpage. Quote, the Texas Lottery is committed to generating revenue for the state of Texas through the responsible management and sale of entertaining lottery products. Close quote. But is that the whole story? When the lottery came to Texas under Governor Ann Richards, we were told that our educational funding problems would soon be history, all over. Education would never be a problem again for the state of Texas. Is that what happened? You know, even if that had happened, would that have outweighed the tremendous evil that the lottery system inflicts on our society? Would it outweigh the regressive tax that the lottery imposes on those in our society who are least able to bear it? What do I mean by that? Well, not long ago, an article appeared in the Houston Chronicle, and it was entitled, Newest Lottery Dreams Cost $50. And it describes a new lottery game that apparently costs $50 to play the game, but you can win prizes in excess of $100 million. And it's the last part of that article in the Chronicle that really caught my attention. Here's a sentence right out of the article. William Scott, age 64, is a custodian in Austin who works two jobs. And he said he often spends $120 a day on lottery games. And he said he was eager to try his luck on the $50 game. Now, that's what I mean when I say the lottery is a regressive tax on those in our society who are least able to bear it. For every dollar that comes into the state, studies tell us $3 go out to fight the increase in crime and to fund the increase in social services needed to make up for those lost wages. Legalized gambling hurts the poor, who are 3 to 7 times more likely to bet on the lottery than those who are not poor. A lottery is a regressive tax that soaks the poor of money they can ill afford to lose. One study estimates the lottery is equivalent to a 60% to 90% tax on the lower income groups that participate in it. Now, I listened pretty carefully, and I didn't hear the Democrats or any other politician saying that when they were bringing the lottery to the state of Texas. And despite its grand promises, what does the lottery do for children? You know, that's why they brought it. It was going to help our children. What does it do for the children when it takes food off their tables? Whatever we do, let's don't fall for the lie that our politicians brought that lottery because they love children. Because that's a lie. Now, gambling is an important issue. Roughly 13% of Gamblers Anonymous members in the United States, 13% of them have attempted suicide. 48% of them have considered it. Suicide attempts are more common with pathological gamblers than with any other addiction. And the lures to play gambling games are greater now than ever before, and getting worse. Gambling affects people's lives every day, and the church must not sit on the sideline with regard to an issue like that. It's important that we know where we stand. It's important that the world know where we stand on that issue. So where do we stand on gambling? Let's look at that tonight. But first, let's ask this question. What is gambling? And that's not an easy question to answer. I believe what we're going to find is there's really no bright line between what is gambling and what's not. We can certainly tell a lot of things that are very clearly gambling, and we can certainly tell some things that are very clearly not gambling, but there may be some things on that line in the middle where we could differ on our opinions of whether they're gambling. But I think for most of the things we're talking about tonight, they are very clearly on this side and are gambling. Chapter 47 of the Texas Penal Code defines gambling. And just let me remind you, I am a lawyer, but I'm not your lawyer. So if you have any questions on gambling, please consult an attorney. But Chapter 47 of the Texas Penal Code defines a bet as an agreement to win or lose something of value solely or partially by chance. That's how it defines a bet. And it defines gambling as making a bet, as we just defined it, on the partial or final result of a game or contest. Now, there are some exclusions in the Act. If it occurs in a private place, if no person receives any economic benefit other than their personal winnings, and if the risks are all the same for all the participants, then there's an exception for that. But, of course, saying that gambling or some types of gambling, the lottery, for example, is legal, that doesn't mean it's approved by God. In fact, it's legal to get drunk. It's legal to commit fornication. So we can't use legality as a proxy for morality. And that's certainly not going to work with gambling. But for those types of gambling that are illegal, and there are many of them, that's a good reason right from the start why a Christian should not be doing that. Because it's illegal. But just because some gambling is legal, that doesn't mean we can do that either. So what is gambling? Well, there's a lot of factors that have been put forth to help us answer that question. Gambling involves the determination of the ownership of property by some appeal, either partially or fully to chance. Typically, the outcome of the wager is evident within a very short period of time of placing the bet. Not that you're going to wait 5 years to find out what happens. Some games are governed solely by chance, but others are a combination of skill and chance. So it's not always just pure chance. Some, such as sporting events, are primarily skill, driven by skill. And others, with people with a greater knowledge, have a greater ability to win the gamble because they know all the odds and the ins and the outs. Here's an important one. Gambling is a zero-sum game. A zero-sum game. It merely takes money from the loser and gives it to the winner. It doesn't create any money. It doesn't create any wealth. It's just a transfer from the loser to the winner. That's very different, for example, from playing the stock market. A lot of times you'll hear that. Oh, well, yeah, I'm gambling, but you invest in the stock market, you're just gambling too. No. With the stock market, it's perfectly possible for everybody to make money. That's not a zero-sum game. It's also possible for everyone to lose money. Gambling involves trying to get something for nothing. Without giving any service, without exchanging any goods, for no value received, is getting something for nothing. Gambling involves risking the loss of what you have in an effort to obtain something for nothing. And that's gambling. Some have argued, well, farming's gambling. Some have offered insurance is gambling. No. Farming, insurance, even the stock market, we know they're on this side of the line. They're not gambling. Insurance does not involve artificial risk like gambling does. Farmers aren't seeking something for nothing. They're not trying to prosper at the expense of someone else. So what's wrong with gambling? Well, I want to look tonight at 15 reasons why a Christian should not gamble. Any one of these should be enough. I'm going to give you 15 reasons why we should not gamble. Number one, gambling has a negative effect on our society. Gambling has evil fruit. You know, gambling is often linked with alcohol and prostitution. Crime rates in casino communities are 84% higher than the national average. It's been estimated that 40% of all white-collar crime is committed by compulsive gamblers trying to make up what they've lost. Domestic violence, child abuse, they increase dramatically when gambling comes to an area. teens are three times more likely than adults to become addicted to gambling once they're exposed to it. And at least 1 in 10 teens engages in illegal activities to fund their gambling. There are 8 times as many gambling addicts among college students as among adults in general. Matthew 7:17-18. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Gambling brings forth evil fruit. Gambling is a corrupt tree. When we look at what gambling does to our society, I'm not sure we need 14 more reasons. We're going to get them, but I'm not sure we need 14 more reasons. Because that's a pretty powerful reason right there. Number two, gambling is wasteful. Wasteful. Gambling encourages the reckless use of our God-given resources. We are, in effect, when we gamble, we're gambling with someone else's money. God's money. Some might say, well, I have the right to do whatever I want to do with my own money. And that'd be correct if it were your own money or if it were my own money. But it's not. It's God's money. If I am Christ, then so is everything I own. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And when Jesus bought me, everything I had came with it. As Christians, we're stewards. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have an obligation not only to be a steward, but to be a good steward of the blessings that God has given us. To risk money haphazardly is gambling. That's to completely disregard the biblical truth about our possessions belonging to God. And we're just stewards of those. And someday we're going to have to give account to God for how we've used those blessings. Do I want to stand before God and tell God I lost His blessings at the racetrack? Well, is gambling really that wasteful? Well, consider the example of one famous gambler, at least the more mature among us will recognize the name, Nick the Greek. He once won as much as $50 million in just a single night. So he was a pretty serious gambler. And by his own account, he went from rags to riches and back again 73 times in his life. During his life, he says he won and lost more than $500 million. And he died broke on Christmas Day in 1966. Yeah, gambling's wasteful. Gambling involves the reckless use of money over which we've been given a stewardship by God. Number three, gambling is foolish. And some types of gambling are much more foolish than others. The chance of winning the big jackpot in this typical state lottery is 1 in 14 million. 1 in 14 million. To put those odds in perspective, 1 in 14 million. If you buy 50 lottery tickets a week, you'll win once every 5,000 years. If you drive 10 miles to buy your lottery tickets, you are 3 times more likely to die in the car on the way to get that ticket than you are to win that lottery. Suppose you're in a football stadium with 70,000 people in it. And then suppose there are 200 such stadiums. Your chance of winning the lottery is the same as your chance of being selected among those 200 stadiums with 70,000 people in each stadium. You know, I used to teach probability. In fact, I still have a book available on Amazon on probability theory. And I used to tell my class that your chance of winning the lottery is about the same whether or not you buy a ticket. And that's the situation for odds of 1 in 14 million. The odds of winning the Texas State Lottery are 1 in 26 million. The odds of winning the U.S. Powerball are 1 in 80 million. The odds of winning the 11th state Mega Million jackpot, 1 in 135 million. To understand the odds of 1 in 135 million, let's think of an example on that one. Let's assume I gave everybody a number between 1 and 500, and then I got out a big stack of typing paper, has 500 sheets in it, and I each had a number on it. And then I pulled one out of the stack and then read the number off. Would you be feeling real confident that you were going to win that 1 in 500? Okay. Let's talk about 1 in 135 million. It's the exact same example, except my stack of typing paper is 8.5 miles high. And then I've got to pull your lucky ticket out of the stack. But someone has to win. You often hear that. Well, first, that statement's just not true, is it? Because very often, nobody wins, and the jackpot rolls over to the next one. That alone should tell you the odds are not in your favor. That also should tell you that ESP doesn't exist, right? If you have that many people trying to guess the numbers, and nobody manages to do it. But second, the probability that someone's going to win, that's not the one that interests me if I'm buying lottery tickets. I want to know the probability that I'm going to win. And that's much, much, much smaller than the probability that somebody's going to win. But what if, despite all the odds against you, you win the lottery? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Really? Really? First, I think we should look at the lives of those lottery winners. How they end up broke shortly after winning. How their families break apart. How they lose their friends. How they turn to substance abuse. Jack Whitaker won $315 million in a lottery in West Virginia in 2002, and shortly thereafter he said, I wish I'd torn up that ticket. But second, if I was the big winner in the Texas State Lottery, I don't know if I'd be able to sleep well with the guilt of knowing that my winnings had come from the pockets of poor people trying to feed their children and working two jobs. Because that's where the money comes from. That's where it comes from. Remember, gambling is a zero-sum game. Every dollar I get in that lottery came out of the pocket of somebody who walked into a store and bought a lottery ticket while their children went hungry. Jeremiah 22:13, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. Number four, gambling is addictive. It's estimated there's close to 10 million Americans that have a gambling habit that's out of control. You know, compulsive gamblers, they're just subjectively certain that they're going to win the next time. It's all turned. They just live in a fantasy world where only the other people lose, and they're always going to win next time. You know, psychologists tell us that the compulsive gambler is trying to get back at his parents for their work ethic. That the parents may have told them that honest work brings success, and the gambler's saying, no, 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 let me show you what can bring me success. I don't have to work at all. I can just gamble. Whatever the psychology, one thing is certain, gambling is addictive. A lot of people are under its spell, and that's reason enough for a Christian to steer clear of it, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Number five, gambling is worldly. It's worldly. Here's how one ancient writer described gambling for a Christian. He wrote, quote, if you say that you're a Christian when you are a dice player, you say you are what you are not because you are a partner with the world, close quote. Those who choose gambling, they have announced to the world that in the choice between God and mammon, they've chosen mammon. Matthew 6:24. Gambling, the focus of it is the lust of the eyes. And John tells us the lust of the eyes is worldliness. 1 John 2:15-16. Gambling is worldly. It encourages a reckless approach to life. The easy come, easy go worldly philosophy of the gambler, that's opposed to the Christian philosophy of stewardship and brotherly love. They are opposites. Number six, gambling is focused on getting rather than giving. Getting rather than giving. The goal of a Christian should be to give and give and give, not to get. Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you notice that phrase in there? Support the weak. Those who play the lottery are trying to get from the poorest and the weakest in our society. When we're tempted to place a bet, we should think of what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's take that money we're getting ready to just throw away and give it to the work of the church. When we give rather than gamble, we're making an investment in the account that matters, aren't we? Our heavenly account. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. We're laying up treasures, not here upon earth, but in heaven. You know, some might say, well, you know, if I win the state lottery, think of all the good I can do. That's when I'll start giving. And boy, the poor, I'm going to feed the poor. Well, I guess it's good you're going to give some back to the poor because that's where it all came from. But second, perhaps the better path is to not support the lottery system in the first place that's taking food from the poor, if your concern is really feeding the poor. Number seven, gambling brings unjust gain. Proverbs 28, verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Ezekiel 22, verse 12, thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hath forgotten me, saith the Lord God. But is gambling really stealing? Is it really theft? Well, in a way, in fact, gambling has been called theft by permission. As with theft, the gains of the gambler are paid at the expense of the loser. Theft is also a zero-sum game, just a transfer. In winning the gamble, one receives the wages that someone else has earned, but without giving that person anything in exchange. Yes, it's true that with gambling, each side is a willing participant, so that's a difference with someone's breaking into your house. But what about gambling addicts? How willing are they, really? They're addicted to it. And with anonymous gambling, such as the lottery, we don't know who all is presumably giving their consent and then presumably agreeing to this. And in fact, those who suffer the most from the lottery are children who are incapable of giving their consent. And I think if you ask them, would you like your parents giving your money over here to the 7-Eleven, or would you rather they buy some food for the table? I think they might choose the food. Doesn't our state lottery steal that food from their table and give it to another? That's theft. Reason number eight, gambling exploits the poor. It exploits the poor. And you know I'm focused a lot on the lottery here. There's a lot of different kinds of gambling, but the lottery really exploits the poor. And yeah, I was preaching all this back when they brought the lottery to the state of Texas, and no one listened, but I'm still talking about it. And believe me, that's not just a Democratic issue. Yes, the Democrats brought it, but the Republicans have kept it ever since, haven't they? Gambling exploits the poor. Satan knows very well that most of the money spent on lottery tickets comes straight from the poor. In fact, states know States, lotteries that come into states, the states know that much of that money that goes into the lottery system comes straight from welfare checks and Social Security checks. They know that. Well, how do they know that? Well, for starters, they can look at the places that cash those checks. They sell lottery tickets. Our political leaders offer untold riches to the poor and uneducated without informing them of the tremendous odds that are against them. Oh, it's just a fun, entertaining game, they say. Do you think those children feel entertained when they're hungry? Do you think the people who are victims of the crime brought by people who spent all their wages on lottery tickets, do you think they're being entertained? Proverbs 14:31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Proverbs 29, verse 7, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. If I buy a lottery ticket with no thought of the one that where that money would come if I were to win, am I considering the cause of the poor, or am I regarding not to know it? Proverbs 29:7. Number 9, gambling is covetous. Covetous. When I gamble with you, whether anonymously or not, I declare to the world that I am craving what you have, and I want it without giving you anything in return for it. I just want it. Whatever you got, I want it. That's covetousness. That's covetousness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as saints. How far should we stay away from gambling? It should not even once be named among us. That's how far. Number 10. Gambling is idolatrous. Idolatrous. Ephesians 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? Covetousness is idolatry. That's what it's saying. We are under God's providential care. But when a person gambles, the focus is altogether different, isn't it? Gamblers put their faith in luck rather than in God to provide for them. And they worship in the man-made temples dedicated to that secular god of luck, don't they? That's idolatry. That's idolatry. When we gamble, we show our lack of faith in God to provide for us. And instead, we display our faith in luck and blind chance to provide for us. You know, it's always struck me as amazing that the same Christian who will say, oh, evolution, I would never believe that we would just be here as a result of blind chance. That would just be ungodly to believe that. But let me worship at the altar of blind chance when I buy that lottery ticket. It's idolatry. Number 11, gambling encourages get-rich-quick thinking. Get-rich-quick thinking. Gamblers display a wrong attitude about work, about the work ethic. They discourage honest labor. Gambling encourages laziness. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Proverbs 28:22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Proverbs 21:26. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Proverbs 23:4-5, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly like an eagle toward heaven. Doesn't that sound like the gambler's loss? Flying away like a bird. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Give, give, give. Christians have great riches to enjoy and great riches to offer this world. But the greatest of those riches, they're not monetary riches. We've been blessed with all riches through Christ Jesus. And those are the riches that we have to offer this world. And it's those riches that should be our focus, not material riches. The gambler is focused only on material wealth and getting, 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 no matter what the cost, no matter what the cost. The cost to others, the cost to himself, the cost to his own family, matters not. Number 12, gambling displays a wrong attitude about money. Gambling encourages greed, materialism, discontent. Psalm 62, verse 10, trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Luke 12:15, he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In 1 Timothy 6:6, you know, the gambler's looking for what? Great gain. Great gain. What's the secret to finding great gain? 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Is there any verse in the Bible that is more directly counter to what we find in Las Vegas than 1 Timothy 6:6? Las Vegas is a city built on ungodliness and discontent. And it was built and populated by people looking for great gain. Do you think they're going to find it with ungodliness and discontent when 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us it comes from godliness and contentment? They're never going to find what they're looking for in Las Vegas. But they can find it in the Word of God. What about our own state lottery? Does it promote godliness? Does it promote contentment? It does promise great gain, but it does not promote what's required to find great gain, does it? It promotes the opposite. Reason number 13. Gambling displays a wrong attitude about the universe. You know, the Romans worshipped a false goddess named Fortuna. Fortune. Fortuna. She was the goddess of fortune, the goddess of chance. And when the Romans saw someone gambling, they would say, good fortune, good luck, and they would invoke the name of this false goddess. They built idols to her. They had festivals in her name. They worshipped at the altar of chance. Are gamblers any different today? You know, Isaiah described a very similar situation in his own day, long before the Romans came on the scene. Isaiah 65:11. But ye that forsake Jehovah, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune, and that fill up mingled wine unto destiny. Reading the American Standard Version. When we gamble, what message are we conveying to the world? What message are we conveying about the world and about the universe? When the world asks us whose people we are, what answer are we giving if they see us gambling? Number 14. Gambling destroys the home. The home. Many gamblers take food away from their children to throw it away on games of chance. Gambling leads to breakups of marriages, breakup of the home. The so-called entertainment promised by the state, it's hungry stomachs, it's lost wages. It's broken families. It's addiction. I didn't see that on the state lottery webpage. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provideth not for his own, and especially his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Finally, number 15. Gambling violates the golden rule. Matthew 7:12. But some might ask, doesn't any competition really violate the golden rule? I mean, if we play a game, I want to win, and I want you to lose, and you want to win, and you want me to lose. So isn't that a violation of the golden rule? No, it's not. It's not. We know why. A friendly competition has its own rewards. It's the fun of the game, and we're both enjoying the game, no matter who wins and who loses. That's the reward. We're both enjoying it. There's no violation of the golden rule when I play a game of chess or checkers with somebody and I want to win. But when money is injected into that game, it infects that game, doesn't it? And soon the love of the game is replaced by the love of money and covetousness, isn't it? You know, we may call it, oh, it's just a friendly poker game. Is it really? Is it really? Do we know the situations of the people we're playing with if we're in one of those so-called friendly poker games? Do we know whether they're perhaps putting their last $2 on the table? Do we know that? Gambling encourages a callousness toward the interests and well-being of others. So there we have it, 15 reasons why a Christian should not gamble, any one of which should be enough for us to flee from gambling. Matthew 5:12, Jesus says we're the salt of the earth. In verse 14, he says we're the light of the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Philippians 2:15, we're to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we should shine as lights in the world. Where do those verses leave any room for a Christian to gamble away the blessings that God has given us? Where do those verses leave any room for us to support a lottery system that targets and exploits the poor? Yeah, I have pretty strong opinions on the Texas State Lottery. I've had them a long time. Not only should we not gamble, but we should stand up and be counted in our society among those who are opposed to gambling, vocally opposed to gambling, in our state and in our nation. It brings nothing but heartache and despair, and it is counter to the Word of God. I thank you for giving me time on my soapbox tonight. And Brother Andre, Lord willing, will be back next week. Thank you very much. Let's stand for our closing prayer.